Good afternoon and welcome to this Track Facts podcast, a weekly series, our summer series of topical discussions and conversations with industry leaders, personalities, and good friends in the game. My name's Tom Amella. I've been a part of the Capital Off-Track betting operation for over 20 years, and this is our first adventure in podcasting. We'll be offering a series, as I say, of topics. And the first topic that we're going to discuss today is the odds board. And folks who know me understand that one of my missions in the game is fan education. And fan education involve discussions in various aspects of the game to help those who are new to the game to gain understandings that helps them grow in the game, and to offer opportunities for those who have years in the game to kind of listen or engage and reflect on some opinions that they've developed over their years in the game. Thoroughbred racing is a game of opinion, and the statement of opinion is most often heard at the track. Who do you like? That's the question. One of the interesting aspects of that question that I've personally experienced over the years is that folks who ask me or ask you, who do you like, usually are looking for an opportunity to tell you who they like. Yes, it's a game of opinion. My personal strategy in that particular case is someone says, Tom, who do you like? I tell them, I'm betting the 9, or I'm betting the 8. My opinion has been made, and this is what I'm going to do. And then I'm quiet, and I listen to them explain their opinion on the race and their explanation of why they like who they like. And when they're finished, I say, well, that's good, but I'm betting the 9, or I'm betting the 8, because it is a game of opinion. And for the most part, we should be betting our own opinion. Well, let's move this idea of opinion into a larger context. I'm sitting on the backstretch at Saratoga Racecourse, and we're less than a week away from opening day. Right now, they're racing at Belmont Park. There's racing at Finger Lakes. There's racing on the West Coast. And I raised that question, or I raised that issue, because in a week, all New York racing action will shift to this scene at Saratoga. And many of the trainers, many members of the jockey colony, many owners whose operations are housed on the NIRA circuit will ship to Saratoga. The same can be said for other operations in other sections of the country. They will ship to Saratoga. When the Saratoga meet is over, everyone will ship out, and racing will continue back in New York, as it will continue at other venues around the country. What I'm trying to frame here is this question. Whenever or wherever you are at a racetrack, what's the same and what's different? What's constant at a racetrack? Well, you have trainers, you have horses, you have jockey colonies, you have owners, but they're not necessarily the same at every racetrack. Doesn't mean they can't ship in, but for the most part, trainers who train and run horses on the NIRA circuit are based in New York. The Midwest circuit, Kentucky, Ellis Park, Turfway, the Southern circuit, Gulfstream Park, Tampa Bay, Fairgrounds, and so on. So at every racing venue, you have trainers, jockeys, and horses. But for the most part, they're different. Yes, they function the same, but they're different. But at every racetrack in the country, there's only one constant, one thing that's the same, functions the same, operates the same, and that's the odds board. The odds board, the tote board. At every racing venue, for whatever the number of horses there are in a field, the tote board will operate exactly the same and function exactly the same and be a core aspect of the racing game exactly the same. So, to continue, how many different meanings are there or interpretations are there for the term the odds? Well, you've got the morning line odds, which is different from the opening odds at post time, which are different from the ebb and the flow of the actual pre-post time public betting odds. And then once the horses are in the gate and the flag is up and the windows are closed, you have the off odds and the final odds. Now, the discussion of final odds is something we can talk about at another point in time, what with batch betting and all the computer money that comes in late. But the bottom line is that the term odds has four separate and distinct meanings. Let's talk a little bit about the morning line odds. The track handicapper employed by the track, his function as the line maker is to rate the percentages or the probabilities in terms of odds of how the betting public will perceive a race and to rank the horses in the field from most likely winner or most likely runner that the public will favor to the least likely. This is not rocket science. This is an absolutely important part of the game. The morning line odds are made by a track handicapper, but he's handicapping the public. He may be a handicapper making selections later on, but that's a separate function. He's handicapping the betting public, the crowd. And at most racetracks, it's a difficult job. It's an important job. And the percentage of accuracy is how the morning line odds maker is evaluated. Here in New York, I remember Don LaPlace. I met Don LaPlace, interviewed Don LaPlace. He was the odds maker for the New York Racing Association for many, many years. He's a gentleman, and what I remember him saying to me many years ago is that he could not look at a card and make a favorite short enough for the New York betting public. He felt that if he tried to make a horse 5-2, the horse would be bet 6-5. If he made a horse 6-5, the horse would be bet even money 3-2. He says he could not make a horse short enough in New York. Eric Donovan replaced Don LaPlace as Naira lines maker, and he was an effective lines maker. Travis Stone was the Saratoga lines maker several years ago, and he did a yeoman's job. And currently, David Aragona, a handicapper for Time Form US, is the Naira handicapper. And David has published his percentage of accuracy, and his line is a very good line. Okay. So once you have the morning line odds and once the betting starts, the opening odds switch to a 18 to 20 minute depending on the gravity of the race, if you will, the ebb and flow of the public betting odds, the actual money flowing into the pools, that will confirm not the lines maker's accuracy, but what the public, what the betting crowd thinks, their opinion expressed as odds. And then finally, when horses get to post and they break, the odds are set, except for that batch money that comes in late. Okay. So the premise that I'm discussing or teaching here is that wherever you go in racing to watch a race, the only constant is the odds board. And it means essentially the same at every racetrack for every field. Okay. Now, the odds board represents a betting market, very similar to what we all understand as the stock market. No rocket science here. The stock market sells stocks at an agreed upon price. Someone decides I want to buy a stock at a certain price, and someone else delivers that stock at a certain price. Odds are sold at a betting market. Yes, they're sold. You buy the odds. When you put $100 to win on a horse who's 6-5, you're buying the horse and you're buying that those odds. You're buying 6-5 return should your horse cross the wire first. So in the same way that the stock market sells stocks at an agreed price, the betting market sells a probability of winning, expressed as odds. And I don't think enough people who are playing the game, especially newbies to the game, give enough respect to the fact that odds are win percentage probabilities. For example, an even money horse, odds on horse, has a 50% probability of winning. A 5-1 odds horse has a 16.67, just about a 17% chance of winning. Okay? So the odds board expresses what the entire betting crowd feels are the percentage probability of each of the runners in that race to win that particular race. Again, this isn't rocket science, but I think it's a subject that folks don't take seriously enough in advance of making wagers. And that's why the discussion. Okay. Now, the stock market and the odds market are relatively efficient markets. Now, what does that mean? Efficient market. The efficient market implies that the stock price that's being offered and the odds price being offered represent all the relevant information that folks involved in these markets have when entering into a transaction, either purchasing a stock or making a wager. Now, that's an interesting concept, because I don't think too many people equate the purchase of a stock with the purchase of a bet. Well, I think it's an interesting idea for you to consider. Said another way, both the stock market and the betting odds market represent the collective wisdom of everyone who's in that market. So, at the racetrack, as money flows into the win pool, I'm only talking win pool here, as money flows into the win pool, it's an expression of everything that everybody who has bet into the pool at any point in time thinks they know. We're going to talk about what they think they know in a moment. Now, another way to reflect or to express the efficiency of the betting market is the reality that the betting favorite, the public betting favorite, will win more often than the public second choice. And the second choice will win more often than the third choice. And the third choice will win more often than the fourth choice. And so on and so on and so on. And over huge samples of races, that efficiency is a proven commodity. For all races, the favorite will win a certain percentage, somewhere between 30 and 33% over time. And long shots will win less than 10% over time. So the betting market and the odds board that reflect the collective wisdom of everyone who's playing is an efficient market, indicating that the crowd, and I don't care if it's the crowd at Saratoga, I don't care if it's the crowd at Belmont Park, the crowd at Santa Anita, the crowd at Golden Gate, the crowd at Gulfstream Park, the crowd is a very formidable adversary for the individual. And that's why it's a game of opinion. The crowd establishes its opinion about the current race, and the player, observing the crowd's, the ebb and flow of the crowd's opinion, makes decisions about his or her own opinion about how to play and how to bet the race. I think that's a very interesting concept. And in my personal opinion, I think that this is the first concept that an individual new to the game should be exposed to. The dynamics of the constant odds board and its influence on the outcome of races. It's a game of opinion. Now, the betting market, as expressed in the odds board, actually speaks. This is the personification of markets. You've heard analysts on TV talking about the stock market's reaction, the stock market doesn't like, the stock market is unhappy, and so on. Giving the stock market itself human qualities. Well, if we can accept that for the stock market, we certainly can accept that for the betting market. And I'm here to tell you today and to share with you today that the odds board, the single constant fixture to racetrack, will speak to you, will illustrate for you, will show you exactly what the public thinks. And there are only four ideas that the betting public can express through the odds board. Now, it's a game of opinion. Newbies to the track arrive with little or no opinion. They come to the track, they're enthralled with the majesty of the horses, the excitement, and armed without opinion, even if they have some mentor with them, for the most part, they're enjoying wagering on colors of silks, gray horses, phone numbers, addresses, birthdays. Last year, a friend of mine brought his grandson to Saratoga. He was 6 years old. He bet six all day, and three sixes came in. There's enough randomness in the game for everybody to be a winner over time on the whim of a number or a color or an address. Most, for the most part, experienced players, their opinions form with the marriage of the morning line odds and actual handicapping. So the entries have been taken. The line maker has established his morning line odds. That information has been forwarded to Equibase, and the past performance services now publish their papers indicating the past performances for each horse that's entered in a race, as well as the morning line odds. And that's when experienced players, or players with some experience, actually begin to form their opinion. Now, as I said, and I think it's worth reiterating, once betting opens, the odds board represents what every bettor, including the newbies, thinks they know about the race, based on what they think they know, using the tools that they choose to form their opinion. And in final analysis, experienced players make a determination whether they're in agreement with the crowd or they're going to play against the crowd. Now, I think the longer an individual stays in the game, plays the game, you reach a point where you understand that favorites win a high percentage, 30 plus, which means they lose near 70% of the time. And that your job is to find the favorite who will lose and pick a longer odds horse that you think has a high probability of beating the favorite. It's a game of opinion. And that's, for many, what the game is about. Let's beat the favorite. Okay. I will tell you this, that throwing out the favorite 100% of the time will mean two things. One, when you win, you will collect a more fair price than what the favorite offered, but the favorite will win their fair share and sometimes more than their fair share. So the person or the individual who's constantly just throwing out the favorite really has to be willing to sustain non-winning streaks. Okay, the odds board. The odds board speaks, it informs, and it identifies. And what it identifies is the type of the race as perceived by the betting public. And I said earlier there are only four pictures, four visions, four types of races. And here they are. The first race is the heavy favorite race, the heavy, heavy favorite race. The public has decided that it's a one-horse race. I call this the monster horse. And the monster horse is identified, or the monster board, or the one-horse race board, is identified by this characteristic. You have a heavily bet favorite, 3-5, 4-5, even money, 6-5. And the second choice is a huge jump up in price to 3-1, 7-2, 4-1, 9-2. So what the public is saying and what the board is illustrating, it's a one horse race, and the horse, let's just say he's 3-5, now has a 62% probability of winning. They lose, but they win more than their fair share. And it's identifiable by the fact that you've got this heavy, heavy favorite at 3-5, and the next shortest odds on the board is 7-2, 4-1. It's a huge jump. There are ways to bet that race, and that's really the topic for another discussion. But the bottom line is that in every betting venue of the world, where the odds board is the constant, there'll be races where one horse is heavily bet and the rest of them are not, and the public is saying it's a one-horse race. As handicappers and players, the first decision is, do I want to play with the crowd? How will I play? Do I want to play against the crowd? How will I play? The second picture, two favorites at less than 2-1 in the same race. I call it the two-headed monster. The public has decided it's a two-horse race. And those horses can be 6-5, 7-5, 6-5, 8-5. They can be 8-5, 9-5. And when you think about it, a 3-2 shot has a 40% chance of winning, and a 9-5 shot has 35% chance of winning. So the public is saying one of those two horses has a 70% chance of winning this race. And I will tell you, one of those two horses is probably going to win. Do they both non-win sometimes? Absolutely. But more often than not, in a two-horse race, one of the two is going to win the race. Now, there's a way to play that race. Again, we'll save that conversation for another time. So, in this particular case, you got two horses at short odds, and then there's a jump to the third choice. What's your options? Do I play with the crowd? Do I play against the crowd? I'll tell you what the most dangerous option is, to pick one. Because the racing gods absolutely love it when a player makes a choice. I think another old adage in this game is choose your lose. So if you think it's a two-horse race and you only pick one of them, you can feel pretty good that sometimes the other one will win. So there's two pictures, the heavy, heavy favorite and the two favorites at 2-1 or less. The monster, and I call it the two-headed monster. Okay. Now the third picture, and this is the most interesting race, I think. A single clear favorite. 9-5, 8-5. A clear second choice. 5-2, 3-1. And a clear third choice. 4-1, 9-2. With the odds between them reasonable. Now remember, we said the monster horse and the two-headed monster are short-priced horses with a significant jump to the second or third choice, depending on the race. Well, the clear favorite, clear second choice, clear third choice is what I call a balanced board. This is a great race because the public sort of likes this favorite. They don't love it. It's not a monster. It's not a two-horse race. This is a race where there's an opinion on who they think is the most likely winner, but they're not sure. They're not as sure as they are in the other two. Now, that's interesting. To be very simple, in a race like that, if you bet the third choice, and in a series of 10 races or 20 races, the third choice wins their fair share, you can earn a small profit just betting the third choice to win. Because the third choice is going to be 9-2, 7-2, 5-1, going to pay near double digits for every $2 you invest. And the third choice is as logical a winner in a race like that as the as a soft favorite, I will call him. So those are the first three pictures. And at every racetrack in the country, you get those pictures. The last board. For some, it's their favorite board. It's the chaos board. It's a board where there are three horses and sometimes four horses, all at similar odds and no clear, distinct favorite. So let's just say you've got 2 5-to-2s, a 3-to-1, and a 7-to-2. Or 3 3-to-1s and a 4-to-1. The public can't make up. The public has declared no favorite. No favorite. Now, here's a hint. In a race like that, devoid of opinion, if the most valued opinion in that race should be the morning line odds maker's opinion. Because if he made one of those horses the favorite, and they're not the favorite, and he's generally, or she is generally pretty good at identifying who the public will make the favorite, well, then that's something you can use to your advantage. Okay? So that's it in a nutshell, in a podcast nutshell. The odds board is the only constant at a racetrack. And the odds board constantly shares with you as a potential bettor what the public thinks the kind of race, the type of race you're looking at is. Is it a one-horse race, a two-horse race, a balanced race, or a chaos race? Now, newbies with no opinion who understand this can understand what the board is saying and can then look at past performances to understand why the public sees a race this way. Experienced players who come with an opinion, come with what they think they know, and they think they know more than the general public, can use that aspect to do it, to deal with it. It's a game of opinion. And I hope that you appreciate that and apply it to your handicapping. Good luck.